Welcome to Christchurch Manchester Sermon Podcast.
We are one church that meets in various locations across Greater Manchester.
For more information about who we are or where we meet,
please visit www.christchurchmanchester.com.
Last week, we came to the part where we saw Jesus get arrested. And then he was put on trial. We saw how he, before he went to the cross, he was abandoned, not only by his really close friends and his disciples, but also by the justice system. He was put through an unfair trial, and Jesus made a massive point of condemning the injustice of this. And so tonight, we're going to now move on to the next part of Jesus's trial. He goes before Pontius Pilate. We're going to see the really extreme rejection of Jesus from the crowds. And we're going to see how Pilate's cowardice led him to compromise and desert his convictions. And then we're also going to look at the character of Barabbas and how he played a part in this final section of the story. So we're going to read a big chunk in John chapter 18, verse 28, and then we're going to go to chapter 19, verse 16. It should come up on the screen behind me as well. It says, "Then the Jewish leaders took Jesus from Caiaphas to the palace of the Roman governor. By now it was early morning, and to avoid ceremonial uncleanness, they did not enter the palace because they wanted to be able to eat the Passover. So Pilate came out to them and asked, 'What charges are you bringing against this man?' 'If he were not a criminal,' they replied, 'we would not have handed him over to you.' Pilate said, 'Take him yourselves and judge him by your own law.' 'But we have no right to execute anyone,' they objected. This took place to fulfill what Jesus had said about the kind of death he was going to die. Pilate then went back inside the palace, summoned Jesus, and asked him, 'Are you the king of the Jews?' 'Is that your own idea?' Jesus asked, 'or did others talk to you about me?' 'Am I a Jew?' Pilate replied. 'Your own people and chief priests handed you over to me. What is it you have done?' Jesus said, 'My kingdom is not of this world. If it were, my servants would fight to prevent my arrest by the Jewish leaders. But now my kingdom is from another place.' 'You are a king then,' said Pilate. Jesus answered, 'You say that I'm a king. In fact, the reason I was born and came into the world is to testify to the truth. Everyone on the side of the truth listens to me.' 'What is truth?' retorted Pilate. With this, he went out again to the Jews gathered there and said, 'I find no basis for a charge against him, but it is your custom for me to release to you one prisoner at the time of the Passover. Do you want me to release the king of the Jews?' They shouted back, 'No, not him. Give us Barabbas.' Now Barabbas had taken part in an uprising. Then Pilate took Jesus and had him flogged. The soldiers twisted together a crown of thorns and put it on his head. They clothed him in a purple robe and went up to him again and again, saying, 'Hail, King of the Jews,' and they slapped him in the face. Once more, Pilate came out and said to the Jews gathered there, 'Look, I am bringing him out to you to let you know that I find no basis for a charge against him.' When Jesus came out wearing the crown of thorns and the purple robe, Pilate said to them, 'Here is the man.' As soon as the chief priests and their officials saw him, they shouted, 'Crucify, crucify.' But Pilate answered, 'You take him and crucify him. As for me, I find no basis for a charge against him.' The Jewish leaders insisted, 'We have a law, and according to that law, he must die because he claimed to be the Son of God.' When Pilate heard this, he was even more afraid, and he went back inside the palace. 'Where do you come from?' he asked Jesus, but Jesus gave him no answer. 'Do you refuse to speak to me?' Pilate said. 'Don't you realize I have power either to free you or to crucify you?' Jesus answered, 'You would have no power over me if it were not given to you from above. Therefore, the one who handed me over to you is guilty of a greater sin.' From then on, Pilate tried to set Jesus free, but the Jewish leaders kept shouting, 'If you let this man go, you are no friend of Caesar. Anyone who claims to be a king opposes Caesar.' When Pilate heard this, he brought Jesus out and sat down on the judge's seat at a place known as the Stone Pavement, which in Aramaic is Gabbatha. It was the day of preparation of the Passover. It was about noon. 'Here is your king,' Pilate said to the Jews. But they shouted, 'Take him away, take him away, crucify him.' 'Shall I crucify your king?' Pilate asked. 'We have no king but Caesar,' the chief priests answered. Finally, Pilate handed him over to be crucified. So the soldiers took charge of Jesus. Okay. Have you ever met someone really, really impressive and thought, wow, this person's got it together. They really know their stuff. What a powerful person. But then when you get to know them a bit better, maybe you see them in a different context, maybe some pressure is applied on them and the veneer sort of comes away. They haven't stuck to their convictions. They weren't who they seemed and they fell at the first hurdle. One of the first things that becomes really obvious in our passage this evening is that Pilate, behind all of the power, the strength and the authority that he exercised, was actually a really weak and fearful man. So last week we heard about Jesus being on trial before the high priest. And now the verses tell us that they then led Jesus from Caiaphas to the praetorium, the palace. So after this really long interrogation that Jesus has just been through, that's gone on all night long, where he was abused, manipulated physically and mentally, he's now taken to the praetorium. This word describes the headquarters, the palace of Pontius Pilate in Jerusalem. This was where Pilate held court and conducted public business. Now, we don't know loads about Pontius Pilate. We know that he became prefect or governor of Judea around the year AD 26. And Pilate had a reputation of being a very bloodthirsty and merciless ruler, especially against the Jews who he oversaw. And because of this reputation that he had, Pilate had recently been given a warning from his own authority, from Caesar, to stop being so cruel, basically. He was essentially given this notice to say, if you continue to lead like this, if you continue executing people without good reason and being so cruel, then you will lose your position. And so then when Jesus is brought before Pilate, Pilate asks, what charges are you bringing against this man? And the religious leaders stood there. They know that they actually have no official answer to this question. So instead they say, if he wasn't a criminal, we wouldn't have brought him to you. And this is where things start to get a bit sticky for Pilate, because he begins to realise he could get into a lot of trouble if he wrongly sentences Jesus because of this warning that he'd recently received. But yet, the crowd are shouting for Pilate to crucify him. I feel like this is every people pleaser's worst nightmare. You know those kind of situations where whatever choice you make, you're going to let someone down. Someone's going to be upset with you. And so what Pilate does is he tries to deflect responsibility and essentially says, send Jesus to Herod. He tried to convince the people that Jesus actually wasn't under his jurisdiction and that he was Herod's problem to deal with instead. Pilate couldn't afford another strike from Caesar, so he wanted to avoid getting into any trouble. And so we see right from the beginning of Pilate's dealings with Jesus, we see his true character begin to reveal itself. What we learn is that Pilate, underneath all of this bravado and power, that he's a weak person. And by this I mean he's someone who's very easily swayed and bogged down by the opinions of others, and he acts to gain acceptance from other people. You see, in this situation, Pilate had a lot of competing voices in his head, like I mentioned before. In one ear, he had Caesar's voice saying, don't be slaughtering people. In another ear, Pilate had this crowd of people in front of him who were desperate for him to crucify Jesus. And then he also had the voice of his wife in his ear, who believed because of a dream that she'd had that Jesus was actually innocent. So Pilate's being pulled in all different directions, and his weakness is revealed. I wonder if this sounds familiar to any of us. It can be so easy, can't it, to turn into a bit of a people pleaser. Especially under stress, sometimes the easiest option just feels like making the choice that's going to make other people happy rather than sticking to our guns, sticking to our convictions. I think on some level we all struggle with this at different times in our lives. We want people to think well of us, don't we? We want to be appreciated, we want to be accepted by other people. But on a deeper level, ultimately, I think we people please when we're afraid. Psychologists have coined the phrase fight, flight, or freeze as a human instinctual response when we're under intense pressure or stress. But in recent years, they've actually added yet another response to that list. It is now fight, flight, freeze, or please. It's a tongue twister. So when there's a perceived threat, that what we really want to do or say is going to be met with resistance or pain, we cower in fear, don't we? We aim to please the other person. We go for the option that's going to keep others happy, even if that compromises a boundary or what we believe to be right. I think particularly in British culture, people-pleasing is kind of celebrated, isn't it? We're very intent on being super polite, not rocking the boat too much, and going with the easiest option for the whole group. We might think that people-pleasing is maybe one of the lesser sins, one of the issues that Jesus doesn't mind too much about. But actually, when we look at what the Bible says about this, it's a very different story. When the Bible refers to this, it calls it fear of man. And it describes this as something to be avoided at all costs. It says in Proverbs 29, "Fear of man will prove to be a snare, but whoever trusts in the Lord is kept safe." The Bible tells us that we will get caught out or trapped when we try to live for the approval of other people. It's not the way of wisdom. It's not a path that's going to lead us anywhere good. But in contrast, when we trust in God above gaining approval from others, we are kept safe and we are protected. I don't think you need to spend very long reading any of the gospel books before you'll realise that Jesus had no problems with this sin issue. He wasn't a people pleaser. He loved people very deeply, but he wasn't concerned about pleasing anyone or keeping anyone happy. And instead of trying to control other people's opinions about himself, Jesus very simply obeyed his Father and lived out his convictions. And he actually offended plenty of people in the process. One of my personal favourite examples of Jesus not being swayed by the opinions of others but sticking to his convictions is found in John chapter 4 when a royal official approaches Jesus and desperately begs him to come and heal his son who was dying in that very moment. This was an urgent emergency. I imagine the last thing this desperate father would have expected Jesus to say was essentially, no, you go home and just believe that he will be healed. Jesus lived undistracted from the plan of his Father and so never, ever compromised what he was being asked to do. He did, in fact, heal that official's son, but certainly not in the way that this father would have wanted. Christian writer and speaker Lisa Turtker said about people-pleasing, she said, "Real love is honest, and real love pursues authenticity rather than chasing acceptance." I think one of the dangers of this kind of sin, this is certainly something that I've experienced myself, is that it is almost impossible to be a principle-oriented people-pleaser. We very quickly begin to lose our principles and we compromise what we believe when we live for the approval of others. The Bible tells us really plainly that we cannot serve two masters and that the only way to live the Christian life is to be fully sold out for Jesus, living with an undivided heart. Unfortunately, I don't think Pilate was very tuned into this truth. And what we see over the course of this encounter that he has with Jesus is that he gives in to this weakness. In verse 33, it tells us that Pilate summoned Jesus inside and then asked him directly, "Are you the King of the Jews?" And then Jesus comes back with this brilliant question. He says, "Is that your own idea or did others talk to you about me?" I think a question like this cuts straight to the heart of a people pleaser. Jesus is essentially asking, is this your own question or is this just the voices of other people in your head? He's trying to work out what Pilate's motives are. He's asking, do you really want to know and believe who I am? Or are you just asking because other people have told you about me? This question from Jesus reminds me a little bit of another question that Jesus asked his disciple Peter in Matthew 16. He says, "But who do you say I am?" Emphasis on the you. Pilate's divided heart in this situation becomes really obvious. Pilate had asked Jesus that question just to humour the crowds outside and to avoid getting into any trouble himself. It wasn't a real heartfelt question. And what becomes so clear in this conversation is that Jesus is not interested in inauthentic relationships or people following him just because perhaps they've been told to by others or they perhaps think that they should. Jesus wants our undivided and real hearts. Jesus wants us to have convictions about who he is that are not based on what anyone else is thinking or what anyone else is doing, but simply based on the revelation that we have of him. And these convictions we can live by and stick to even when pressure and challenges come. I wonder where all of us are at with this evening, whether you would consider yourself a people pleaser or not at all. I think this interaction between Pilate and Jesus, actually, it asks the question of all of us. Are we all in for Jesus? Are we ready to speak up for him? Or are we more concerned about what others are thinking? I have certainly struggled over the years with people pleasing and fear of man, fear of what other people think of me and how they might perceive me. And a while ago, a mentor of mine gave me some really good advice. She said, "Rosie, it's time to repent of this fear of man, and it's time to start putting God on the throne of your life again." This is how we counteract living under the fear of others. We come to God and we say, "I'm sorry for where I have lived for the approval of other people. I'm sorry for where I've created other gods and put them on the throne. Please help me to live for your approval and no one else's." And when Jesus is king and has all authority over our lives, we are set free to be bold, to challenge others, to speak up, to speak the truth in love, and to proclaim who we believe in. And the rest of the story that we're moving on to now shows us that this freedom that we get to have in this relationship with God was bought at a high, high cost. In verse 39, Pilate is now clutching at straws. He's going to give it one more shot at trying to convince the crowds to allow Jesus to go free. And so he reminds them of a Jewish custom that they all observe at the time of Passover, which was that at this time in the Jewish calendar, they would release one prisoner and let them go free. And so Pilate says, "Shall I release the King of the Jews? Shall I release Jesus?" And the crowd all shout, "No, not him. Give us Barabbas." Only a relatively small number of people are mentioned by name in all of the four New Testament gospel books. And surprisingly, Barabbas is actually one of them. All that we know about Barabbas is that he was a notorious criminal. He's described by John as a robber. But in other gospel accounts, he's described as a murderer. He would have been thought of by the Romans as a terrorist. Pilate wanted the crowd to let Jesus go free. He knew in his heart he was innocent. So he wasn't going to let Jesus compete against some popular hero. He wanted to offer the crowd an alternative that they would find really morally offensive, whose clear guilt would really starkly contrast with Jesus' innocence. Surely at this point, the crowd would choose Barabbas to be crucified. But Pilate was wrong. Again, Jesus is rejected by the justice system. It didn't seem to matter how many times Pilate repeated, "I find no guilt in him." All of his attempts to spare Jesus were in vain. The book of Matthew and Mark give us even more insight into this moment. They tell us that this was not just a spontaneous response from the crowd. They were shouting, "Crucify Jesus," because this was a decision that was deliberately promoted by the religious leaders. This was a clear and intense mass rejection of Jesus. And so Barabbas is set free and Jesus is crucified in his place. And this is all we really hear about Barabbas. And I think this is actually done on purpose, because Barabbas is simply meant to act as a symbol of not only our own rejection of Jesus in how we often choose other things over Jesus, but also our freedom that was bought, the price that Jesus paid instead of us. The guilty man was pardoned and the innocent man was condemned to death. This is the truth that we get to receive from this story. Barabbas's freedom is our freedom. And perhaps we're guilty of being like Pilate and we cower under the fear of other people, or perhaps we're guilty of being like the crowds and we often reject Jesus in the choices that we make and the life we choose to live. But we are all also Barabbas. We're in his position. We're set free. We're let off the hook and completely forgiven simply because Jesus has gone in our place. I don't know where you feel like perhaps you fit into this story this evening. Maybe you do feel overly concerned with gaining acceptance. Maybe you know as you sit here tonight that you have actively rejected Jesus, maybe in how you've been living, the words you've been speaking, the choices that you've made. But the amazing news is that that is all of us. Romans 3 tells us that we've all sinned. We are all Barabbas. We all deserve the death that Jesus went through. But Barabbas is actually a gospel parable. And the lesson is this, that God showed his love for us in this, that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Our freedom from guilt isn't achieved by anything that we do ourselves. It's achieved completely by Jesus dying in our place, and it's given to us as a free gift that we can receive by faith. So whether we need to learn tonight to put Jesus back on the throne of our lives, to give him all authority and repent from how we have been more concerned with others' opinions than with God's, or whether we want to choose to accept Jesus and no longer reject him, I think Jesus is so ready to come and cover all of our brokenness and refresh our relationship with him.
Thanks for listening.
To explore this sermon or learn more about our church, please navigate to the links provided in this podcast description.
From there, you can connect with us on social media. And you're welcome to check out the music links featured in this episode from our very own musicians.
You can also discover current events and information about where we meet on Sundays and various groups or community projects that you can join in with.
If you're interested in knowing more about us or wish to join us for one of our meetings, please reach out.
Simply drop us an email at hello@ccm.org.uk.
We look forward to connecting with you.